just want to add with, thank you, what Monet just said there, you know, this is what we seek. This is what we look for, is to come into His presence and feel what we feel. And while we were worshiping here, I just realized, you know, the Lord will not force your heart open. He wants us to open our hearts to Him. Here's this question. Who determines what pot is being made, the clay or the potter? And in the beginning, I thought it was the potter. But it's not. It's the clay. If the clay is not submissive and yield to the hand of the potter, the only thing the potter can make is a big, ugly pot. It's when we yield to His presence and to His touch that God starts dealing with those things. Monet said, we came in here with things that we felt wrong, we said wrong, we came in with a spirit of criticism and maybe things that we didn't feel right. But nothing can stand when you're in the presence of the Lord. It is just amazing. It is thick of His presence here this morning. I try to be as sensitive as possible this morning. Because God has started last week with something, and I believe He's still continuing, touching and dealing with the things that's keeping us from His presence. I just want to pray, if you struggled this morning coming into His presence and your mind was continually taking to problems out in the world, how did I solve that? What my problems, my family, this. I come up against that spirit in Jesus' name. And I pray that we will open our hearts. The authority lies with each and every one of us, that we will open our hearts to Him this morning, so that He can finish the work that He started in our lives. That is the most important thing. Lord, Holy Spirit, come and do what you need to do. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Thank you. I just want to quickly recap on last week, because I want to build on last week. We spoke last week about that small little things, that small jackals that ruin the vineyard that Solomon spoke about. That little things that actually bring a lot of damage. But I want to turn it around and say it's that small little things in life that carry most of the power and authority. It's that small little things that actually brings the change in our lives. And we sit with a problem and we think that certain things in our lives we identify as small things, and we don't want to engage in those small things because I'm better than that. I need to engage in the big ministries. I need to engage in the prophesying, in the deliverance ministry, and I want to see the move of God, and I want to preach, and I want to mic in my hand. And we belittle the most powerful things. And last week we went back to Genesis 1 and 2. And the thing that stood out in God's original plan was He had fellowship with man every day. That's what He had, fellowship. And that's what God expects of us, is to have fellowship with one another. And that's what we spoke about last week, to have fellowship with one another, because The word tells us, Jesus actually said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you to be my witness. What is a witness? A witness is not somebody to talk about the Lord. It's not somebody that quotes scripture alone. But a witness is somebody that can witness and say, Jesus changed my life. The word changed my life. It changed me. I'm not the same again because of what He has done in my life. That is the testimony. That is the things we need to share with one another. But where does those things come from to share with one another? That fellowship is when we're in the presence of God like this morning. When you're in the presence of God, yeah, it stirs up that gifts in us. There's a desire to pray for somebody. There's a word that comes in, a word of knowledge. We've been involved in the prophetic. Man, it just stirs me. To hear how there was words of knowledge during the prophetic training and how people responded to that word and breakthroughs came. Please, I ask you, what's the calendar? If you see the prophetic training again, don't please miss it. Don't miss it. Come. Because it's there where we hear God and we can testify about what He has done in our lives and we can speak about it. I don't want to speak about Jesus as somebody that's just out there. I don't want to testify about the scripture, how powerful the scripture is. I want to tell you about what it did in my life, how it changed my life. And that is why it's so important that you're part of a comm, that you're part of fellowship, where we fellowship together, where we bride. The most spiritual thing and one of the greatest ministries you can get involved with is bride together. Because when you bride together, your heart shows and you can deal with it. That is the greatest ministry. But it's when we're in the presence of God like this morning that certain things just... I love it going into His presence. I can't stand and I can't breathe. But some of us this morning experience those things that's keeping us from getting in His presence. Those are the things that we need to deal with. And I want to go back quickly just to that scripture, Hebrews 12:4. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. We've got to fight those things that are keeping us from doing what we're doing just this morning. Coming into His presence and feeling that awesome touch from the Lord. And I believe the Lord is going to continue this morning. Not because what I'm going to say. It's because He's here. And it's His heart to change us and to touch us. I just want to quickly this morning, like we spoke about fellowship last week, I want to just talk about the way of fellowship today. What is the way of fellowship that God expects of us? And I had to go back to the one that showed us on this earth how to fellowship. And that was Jesus. And when I looked at the life of Jesus, I saw the way that He fellowshiped. The first thing I saw He do is He ministered one-to-one. One-on-one. Although He ministered to crowds, He ministered to individuals in the crowds. The second thing is, Jesus had strategy, He had a plan. He worked with a plan. And I'll just reveal it to you. In John 17, while He was praying just before He got arrested, that plans were revealed. And I think what God wants to do this morning is that river of living water from the throne room when Jesus was on earth, it flowed through Him to us as people. He was the gateway of the God's glory into the circumstances of human beings on this earth. That one-on-one ministry, if you go and look in the Bible, you'll find that some of the most profound teaching Jesus did was one-on-one. You can go and read it. I'm going to just read it quickly. You can go and read it in the Bible. The woman at the well, John 4. The blind man, John 9. Martha, John 11. Mary, Luke 10. Mary Magdalene, John 20. Nicodemus, John 3. Peter, John 21. Philip, John 14. The thief on the cross, Luke 23. Thomas, John 14. And I can carry on and carry on and carry on. We ministered to individuals within the crowd. It's easy for me standing here, and you have to listen what I have to say, and it's easy to minister from one to many. But it's when you engage individually with people that accountability kicks in. And that is the most important thing. But I want to stop quickly. When Jesus ministered to John, the disciple he loved so much. You remember in Matthew 12, when Jesus was teaching, the disciple said, "Jesus, your brother and your mother are outside. They want to talk to you." And he turned and he said, "Who is my mother and who is my brother?" He said, "You are my brothers and you are my mother." And for an instant, we could think he's not acknowledging the figurehead of his mother. But what happened on the cross? It's the most profound thing that happened on the cross. When Jesus, just before he died, he looked down at John standing next to his mother. And he said, "Mary, your son." He said, "John, it's your mother." And there Jesus gave to the disciple he loved so much the greatest ministry. "Look after my mother." I want to tell you, mothers, we love you. We honor you. Thank you for mothers. Jesus showed how much a mother means. But this caught my eye. And actually, I'm using a revelation that God gave to Monet. Poor John. We always seek the big ministries. Poor John. John had to look after Jesus' mother while the other disciples went into massive ministries. How did he feel? How did he feel to take in Jesus' mother and look after her while the others went and reached the nations and the world out there? And we don't read a lot about that. We don't focus so much on that. We focus on what Peter did. We focus on what Paul did. We quote all those scriptures, but we forget what John did. John did exactly what God demonstrated in his original plan in Genesis 1 and 2, and that is to have fellowship, to look after one another. I'm getting excited. Sorry, I'm not aggressive. But I should be, because we miss out on that. It is so important that we don't belittle the most powerful thing that God has given us, and that is to fellowship with one another. Let's talk our language, to pray together. To share meals together. That is what he wants. That's what he wants us to do. One-on-one. What does he expect of us? He expects of us like Jesus. Although we stand before a lot of people, we will be sensitive to the individuals, to the individual needs. How much did you focus on yourself this morning in his presence? I struggle to focus on myself when I'm in his presence. I see other faces. I see you. I get words for you. Last night I was preparing. There's an intercession DVD that I found, and it's got one chord, and it changes now and then to a second. I love it. It shoots me into heaven. And I forget about everything around me. And at a point of time, I sat there and I find myself prophesying over Jacob. And the Lord said to me, "I've given you," I'll talk to you now that you've given me, "I've given you many weapons, sharp weapons. I want you to dust them off and prepare them and oil them and get them ready, because many will be plucked out of the hands of the evil one by what I've given you. The dreams your mother and your father has for you for the ministry will come true. You will be a mighty warrior using lots of weapons and not keeping them in a cupboard, but carrying them all on his belt. and be effective for him. Thank you, Lord. Lord, may you bless him. May he stand up like a mighty warrior in your hand. And may he change lives, Lord. We can't help when we're in the presence of God to engage with one another. I wish I could speak all over you, each and every one of you prophetic, but that you have to come to the prophetic training. It is amazing when we kick in by that. But then Jesus had strategy. It's amazing the strategy Jesus had on earth. And that's what he expects of us. Watch this in John 17, verse 4. He glorified the Father. Listen, Jesus saying this to the Father in prayer. He said, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. That is how Jesus glorified the Father. That's how we expect us on earth to do. We need to glorify the Father. We need to glorify Jesus for the task he has given us on this earth. It's when we engage in that task. And I'm going to constantly bring us to, where is that task being birthed? Where is it being stirred up? Things like this morning, in the presence, in the presence, in the presence of God. When we don't focus on ourselves, but focus on the ones God has given us. The second thing in verse 6, listen to what Jesus said. I have manifested your name to the people. It actually says in the NIV, which is nice, it says, I have revealed you to those you gave me. I have revealed you. That's what God expects of us. We need to reveal Jesus to the people. We need to show who he is by living that life. That's the strategy we need to follow when we fellowship. Verse 8. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them. We need to give God's word to them. That's what he expects of us. Because that is what Jesus did. He just said this to the Father. Revealed his strategy. Then we go, and we go to verse 12. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. The NIV says it's so beautiful. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. By the name of Jesus. That's how we protect them. And then lastly, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So that's the strategy. We need to minister and focus on individuals. We need to focus on one, and that's how Jesus did it. But he had strategy. When he focused one on one, he said, how do you focus one on one? When you bribe, you must glorify Jesus by doing what he's given you to do. And then he said, you go on and you reveal the Father to them. Then you give them my word. And you need to protect them. Then you need to send them. That's the strategy when we engage one on one. Because there's accountability in that. But this is interesting. In the beginning, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see that the glory was flowing from the Father to man. The Father had fellowship personally with Adam and Eve every day. Then things changed. There's that word in Ezekiel 47. You can go and read it. Verse 1 to 12. Verse 1, the water was flowing from the throne room. Verse 7, great number of trees on the banks. verse 8, where the flow into the sea, the water became fresh. Verse 9, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flow. Verse 12, fruit trees, all kinds of fruit trees goes on the banks of the river. Leaves will not wither. Sorry. Every month they will bear fruit. And the fruit is for food and the leaves for healing. There it is. In Ezekiel, that vision was given of how the river of living water flow from the throne room. And then we come and we see that in John 4, where Jesus was ministering to the Samaritan woman one-on-one. That it's amazing ministry. That it's some of the profoundest revelation that Jesus has ever given to man. He's given it to a woman at the well. And let's look at verse 10 of John 4. When he went to her and asked for water. And he said to her, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God," talking about himself, "and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Jump to verse 14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." What an amazing revelation. Jump to John 7, verse 37. "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, 'If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.'" Do you see that? Out of his heart, if we believe in him, out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. Watch what it says in 39. "Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." He was talking about the Holy Spirit flowing through us as living water, gushing out of our hearts. And when I hear the training with the prophetic, we've got to drop 12 inches from here to here. Let from our hearts that living water, the Holy Spirit, start flowing. Let it start just flow out of us. Because that was given to us. Have you received the Holy Spirit? If you have received the Holy Spirit, you've got that river of living water that can flow from your inmost being. And for some of us this morning, it was difficult to sit and we go into this slow worship. And some of us would have liked some little bit more beat. But the presence of God was so thick, because he said, "I want to come and do something this morning. I want to deal with the things that make you struggle coming into my presence." Now, if the enemy can stop us from getting into the presence of God, he can stop us from getting that living water flowing from us. And we read about this in Revelation 22. Can you see Genesis 1 and 8? Talk about the fellowship, the living water flowing from the Father to man. Then we talk about Ezekiel, that vision of that living water flowing from the throne room. And then again at the end in Revelation 22, it comes again. Water of life crystal clear, flowing from the throne room, from the throne of God and the Lamb. Both sides of the river stands the tree of life, bearing fruit every month and leaves for healing. Isn't that amazing? It's old news, but it's alive because he wants us to do that. That's the way he wants us to fellowship. What is it for today? What does God expect of us today? Is that the cross you remembered when Jesus died, the veil tore in two, giving us access to the innermost being of God himself, to enter into his presence. So this morning, we could, with confidence, come into his presence and experience his touch. And the only thing that I focus on myself is I see the things that is keeping me from flowing with him. That's the only thing I see in me. But then I see people's faces and I see people's needs. And that is what stirs it, these gifts. When you're in the presence of God, those gifts are being stirred up. That's where it's being stirred up. Why is those gifts being stirred up? So that I can stand here and prophesy? No, so that I, one-on-one, that we can minister to one another. That's why the gifts are being stirred up. You know the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, you can go look at it. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. But this is important. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. He apportions to each one individually as he wills. In God's presence, the Holy Spirit in us. Let those gifts stir it up. It comes out. We've got to stir it up. And as it stirs up, it flows from us like living water, the same way that it did with Jesus. And then we can minister into people's lives. What will I say? I don't know what to say. I don't have to prepare to say anything. When I walk into somebody's presence and I touch them, then the Holy Spirit starts boiling inside and it comes out. And the gifts start to operate. This is a profound, important, hear this scripture. Make this the main scripture of today. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received the gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. If we want to be good stewards of God's grace, we need to minister to one another and stir up that gift. He has gifts sitting here that's been dormant. He has gifts that God has placed in you. We struggle to get into the presence. I'm so scared when I get into the presence of God because then I lose it. I lose control. That's where I need to get excited this morning. When I'm in the presence of God, I can only see fault in myself and I can only see the things that is different to me. And I say, Lord, here it is. And he says, gone. Out. And then he says, there's one. Give it to me. And then he says, Lord, yeah, use me. And then I see faces of people and prophecy comes and word of knowledge, words of wisdom, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you, got to flow out of that place. But if you want to move in the gifts, we need to get into his presence like this morning. That's where we will find it. That's where it will be stirred up. And that's where we can move with God and be good steward where the gifts he's given us is to minister to one another. Amen. Wow. Yeah. I get so excited about this. God has given you dreams. But I want to ask you this. It is not about me. And it's not about you. It's about us. And when all the different gifts start to operate together, his body become effective. So whatever gift you feel you have, Stir it up. Point number two, be accountable. A Lone Ranger is a dead ranger. Rambo, you only see on TV. So if you want to go minister out there, bless you. But just come back so we pray for you because you're going to be full of holes. We need to work as a team. Because I only see one part of the thing in front of me. Monet see the other part. He sees the other part. She sees the other part. And together we see the whole picture. There's gifts here this morning that need to be woken up. When I get serious, in the army, they said, don't point one finger, there's three pointing back. So when we get serious, we go five. I don't want to throw. What I'm saying is, please, I beg you, that gifts that God has put in you, some of you has only found it this morning when you came into His presence. For a long time, I haven't felt God's presence as thick as it was this morning. Just be patient with me. Sorry, with a beard. You in ministry? Only word I have for you this morning is God says, you seek me and seek my ways and chuck strategy that is of the world. But seek me, and when you're in my presence, I will reveal to you what you need to do with young people. And I pray that you will have the faith to do exactly what God shows you to do. Lord, may you bless him. May you open his spiritual eyes, Lord. May you just lay your hands on him right there. Just touch him, whoever is close to him. Thanks, Steve. Thank you, Lord, for opening his spiritual eyes. Lord, you've called him, but he's been swallowed in by structure. Lord, we come and we ask that you will break those structure. No, sorry, Lord. It's not your job. You see, there I've got it wrong. Lord, let him break that structure because he built it with his authority. Let him break it with the authority you've given him, Lord, and set him free to see what you want to do in people's lives. May you bless him and honor him in Jesus' name. Amen. We should minister to one another. That's what we should do. Can we close our eyes? While I was speaking about these things and being excited about what can do and coming into God's presence, there's some of us sitting here and saying, I'm not sure what you're talking about. I know Jesus and I read the Bible, but I don't always understand it. And this morning the Lord says, I want to touch you. It's not the quoting of scripture and stuff that will break yoke. It's the anointing. And the anointing you receive only when you're in the presence of God. And you are his sons and his daughters when you accept Jesus Christ. And then you can come in confidence into his presence and receive those things and those gifts. And you've got this desire, Lord, I want to make right with you this morning. If you want to make right with the Lord this morning, I want you to put up your hand. And for some of you, it's going to be difficult doing that because the enemy don't want you to respond. Just put your hand up. I need to see your hand. I need to see your hand. There's a hand.